Twitter alert, you may want to reset your passwords. Twitter disclosing Thursday in a blog post that it found a bug a few weeks ago that caused passwords to be improperly stored in plain text on internal logs. It said it found the bug itself and fixed it, but that doesn't mean all is well.
It was all going just fine. Despite posting the biggest quarterly loss ever, Tesla investors were willing to give the electric car company the benefit of the doubt. But then Elon Musk started talking and the stock started tanking, shares dropping nearly 7% Thursday and taking $3.5 billion in market value with them. The iconoclastic CEO, who has at times raised eyebrows for speaking off the cuff, started cutting analysts off during Wednesday's aftermarket's earnings call.
The most restrictive ban on abortion anywhere in the U.S. could go into effect in Iowa. Republican state lawmakers on Wednesday passed a bill outlawing the procedure as soon as a fetal heartbeat is detected. That can be as early as 6 weeks, sometimes before a woman realizes she's pregnant. The bill isn't just aimed at protecting embryos in utero, but challenging a long-standing Supreme Court decision.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. It is Friday. It's May 4th, 5:10 in the morning. We are glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day on the broadcast today. A little bit later in the show, Brian Summers is going to be here from Skift. We're going to be talking about the latest incident on a Southwest Airlines flight and a couple of changes in the works at Chicago's United Airlines. Brian's coming up at about 5:40 this morning. It is Portfolio Friday, and Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management for our regular Friday conversation. We'll get into that momentarily. You heard there in the opening montage a couple of the big stories happening. If you have Twitter, make sure you reset your password. Because of some sort of glitch, internal glitch that may have showed your password internally. It doesn't necessarily mean there was a breach and everybody saw it, but the company is saying that you should go in and change your password just in case to something, by the way, other than 1234. Get that done first thing this morning. We're following some other news involving Warren Buffett and Apple this morning. It has been revealed that Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway bought a stunning 75 million Apple shares in the first quarter. The number adds to the 165.3 million shares that Berkshire already owned at the end of 2017. We're watching the markets this morning as well on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook. The Dow futures off about 22 points this morning. S&P and NASDAQ futures are down single digits around the globe. Markets in Europe are generally higher, with the FTSE in London up 0.5% and the DAX in Germany up about 0.5% as well. And in Asia, markets are generally negative, with the Nikkei ending the day down about 35 points, just about 0.2 of a percent. In China, the Hang Seng is off about 386 points, down a little bit more than a percent. Oil is trading this morning at $68.40 a barrel, which is down about 3 cents. The jobs report coming out a little bit later on this morning. It's always one of our favorite conversations here on The Opening Bell. Paul Nolte joins us now. He's the Senior Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, happy Friday. May the 4th be with you.
Welcome to summer.
Yeah. Like the last time we talked, it was cold, and now it's warm.
It's warm. Yeah. So, yeah, spring, I think, was Wednesday between 10 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. That's been it.
Yeah, winter came back for about an hour yesterday afternoon, and now spring is back. But we're looking at this jobs report, and we're seeing the estimate between 190 and 200,000 jobs.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big reverse, we're hoping and expecting, from the report that we had last month. Going back a month now, we didn't see very good numbers. Wage growth wasn't that great. It was a big surprise to the downside. So we're expecting to see that reverse. We'll probably see an upgrade to last month's numbers as well as February's numbers, so a slight increase there too. So we'll again be watching on wage growth. A lot of the numbers that we saw in the last 2-3 weeks indicate wage pressures are building and picking up, and we're seeing it in a lot of other reports. We haven't yet seen it in the monthly jobless claims or jobless numbers, but we're expecting to see a little bit more this month, and that's really where we're going to be focused.
With the job market as tight as it is, how many more months can we continue adding this, you know, adding healthy numbers of jobs? I mean, at some point, doesn't it have to come to an end or no?
Well, yeah, I mean, what we're seeing in some of the reports is that there's people coming in off the sidelines. Mm-hmm. You know, those that were unemployed for whatever reason, disaffected workers is the terminology they use. They're coming off the sidelines and going, well, geez, there's jobs out there. I might be able to pick something up. So there still is a decent reservoir, if you will, of people that can't enter the workforce. And we've been surprised, economists all over have been very surprised at how low for how long we've been at the current unemployment rate without seeing a significant bump in wages. We would expect at this point to see inflation significantly higher than what it is right now. We're seeing it in a lot of the materials. We're seeing it in some of the farm products. We're seeing it in some of the metals. A lot of companies are reporting input prices picking up, and to a certain extent, they've been able to pass that along to consumers. One of the other things that we saw, too, is with the tax reform bill, what a lot of the companies are doing with those dollars, a lot of it is going to capital expenditure and also back to shareholders in the way of dividends or stock buybacks. Some of it is going back to employees in the form of higher wages, but that's actually down on the list. So, again, wages are picking up, but it's nowhere near what we would expect at this point in the cycle.
You mentioned those people that are have fallen off the roll that we don't count anymore, I guess. If you get into an argument with anybody about this, people will tell you there are lots of people on that list. Has there been an estimate recently how many people might be on that list?
Yes, there is, and that's one of the things that the government will report. And that number is still higher than what it should be, again, where we are in the economic cycle. I don't have that number off the top of my head, and we can cover it on the podcast.
Sure.
But that's but yes, they do keep track of that, and that number has been falling, but actually it is at a level that is still higher than where we would be, again, at this point in the economic cycle. So that's why people think this can continue for a while yet.
Hundreds of thousands or millions?
Oh, we're millions. Millions, 10, 16 million or so.
Right. Because the number of openings that are out there is estimated to be about 6 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So yeah. There's a lot of jobs going unfilled, and there's people that are still on the sidelines, not necessarily interested in picking up a job for whatever reason.
Listen, I'm not going to complain. We've said it before, we'll say it again. This is a 17-year low for unemployment.
Yeah.
So we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're now entering, now that we're into May, we're now the second longest economic expansion on record, 107 months. And when you look at the weekly jobless claims that came out yesterday, we're at lows that we haven't seen in 50 years. So the job market should be strong, so the numbers should be pretty good this morning, and we would expect to pick up in wages as a result.
All right, Paul, hang on. Let's continue our conversation after we check traffic this morning. We'll be back with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management.
From ABC News Wall Street Now. Stocks waged a turnaround Thursday with the Dow clawing back up from a nearly 400-point loss and closing in positive territory. Spring jobs are in bloom. Economists are projecting a hearty jobs report out from the Labor Department this morning. Estimates of 190,000 jobs added for last month. If you have a Twitter account, change your password. That's what the company is now saying after discovering a bug in its systems created a log full of encrypted passwords. Twitter says there's no evidence of anyone outside the company getting a hold of that log. Walmart's revamping its website to take on Amazon. It's rolling out this week and includes updates like an easy reorder option that lets customers quickly buy things that they pick up most often at stores and online. Amazon going big with dog food. The company's now introducing WAG, available only to Amazon Prime members. Pet food is a big business. Americans spending $32 billion feeding their pets last year. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 524, Paul Nolte's here from Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, yesterday the markets did a U-turn, and it was just two words that helped do it.
It was. It was all around the Chinese negotiations that are going well, better than expected so far, and that was enough to get the markets turned around. So that the backdrop here still with the markets are still concerns over tariffs, trade issues. We're hearing it from a lot of the corporations. We're in the tail end of the earnings season, and we've heard that a lot from management about trade. We're seeing it in some of the economic numbers. Capital expenditures have come down a little bit as people kind of wait to see what happens. And some companies are seeing an impact. Certainly some of the farm trade companies like Bungie and Archer Daniels are noticing a change in trade just in the last few weeks related to tariffs and tariff talks.
We've seen a couple of economic data points, too. Input numbers, input costs, the ISM manufacturing and service reports show inflation at the input level, the manufacturing levels up.
Yeah. Excuse me. When we're looking at those numbers, we're seeing the top line number coming down. It's not a big concern because the numbers have been at very, very high levels for both manufacturing and service. So they're coming down a little bit, but it has been in line with a lot of other reports that we're seeing that are coming in worse than expected. So we're seeing from the comment from Caterpillar a couple of weeks ago that, you know, this is as good as it gets. We're starting to hear that from other companies, and we're seeing it from some of the economic data that it's a little bit softer right now. And part of that, I think, is goes back to the trade issue and some of the uncertainty over trade. And would love to have this taken care of and put to bed so that we can then understand what the rules of the road are so we can go ahead and do business under those rules.
The Federal Reserve met this week. No announcement, but it's looking like June might be a live meeting.
June is a 99.8% chance that it's going to go. And they actually upgraded their assessment of the economy. They see it as a strong economy. They're still worried about inflation, and we're seeing it in some of the numbers. So absolutely, it's a June go. And again, when we take a look at the numbers that come out today, the unemployment numbers and stuff, that we would expect that to be very supportive of a June hike. We're also noticing a lot of the Fed speakers, when they come out and actually get out onto the circuit and start talking about the economy and their views, they are very bullish on the economy, meaning that a lot of the members are feeling pretty good about raising interest rates. Mm. So the expectation for three more hikes in addition to the one that we've already had is getting to be more the consensus view than it was when we came into the year.
And the other thing that we haven't really given a lot of attention to today, but I'm hearing a lot more concern about, is fuel prices. For you and me, gas prices. For farmers getting ready to go out into the fields, they're seeing higher fuel. This could be a big drag on the economy.
Absolutely. We're starting to see $3 pretty regularly around town, even out in the burbs. And that will have an impact. $3 is not a big deal. It's not enough to get people to stop or alter their driving habits. When you get up around 3.25, 3.50 and above, certainly when we saw $4 a few years ago, you noticed a big change, not only in the cars that we were buying, because we're starting to buy a lot more of the fuel-efficient cars, less of the trucks, and the trucks are more profitable for the car companies, but you're seeing a difference in the driving patterns. Yeah. We're not there yet, but the way oil prices are going and what we're seeing at the pump, that could continue for some months.
And all those folks who've been out there buying trucks and SUVs over the last couple of years, I feel sorry for you.
Your fill-up is going to be $60, $70. Yeah. And, you know, I filled up yesterday. I filled up my vehicle yesterday for $40. And that was the first time I've seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
And that is going to be something that a lot of people notice. That's one of the things that you do once or twice a week, depending upon how much you're driving. And you notice that regularly. And that's one of the things that gets everybody's attention.
Paul, come back a little bit later on this morning. We'll do our podcast on the jobs report.
Looking forward to it.
And,
thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you again next Friday, too. Paul and I will do the podcast on the jobs report. a little after it's posted, and we'll do a little inside baseball analysis and go over the numbers for you. We'll post that mid-morning at WGNradio.com. And Paul, you can find him at kingsview.com in Chicago at Kingsview Asset Management.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. A Chicago startup is looking to be the kayak for furniture to help you snag a good deal without scouring the internet. Cora has built an online platform that lets you browse furniture from a host of sites, aiming to help simplify the furniture buying process. Purse Strings is a Chicago startup that provides women with vetted financial pros and financial advice. The startup is a place for users to find advice on topics like purchasing a home, budgeting, paying off student loans, and planning for retirement. And Errand Solutions is a Chicago tech company that offers an errand running service as a benefit to employees in an organization. Launched back in 2000, it works with companies like Kohl's and Northwestern Mutual to handle their employees' errands, like picking up dry cleaning or grabbing groceries. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. A couple of big stories this week involving United Airlines. They have a new chief communications officer, and you'll recognize the name, and they made a change in their pet policy. But we're going to start first this morning with Brian Summers of Skift.com. He's the airline business reporter there with more news about Southwest and another window problem. Brian is with us this morning via Skype. Brian, this latest incident actually happened on a flight from Chicago.
Yeah, Southwest had a cracked window earlier this week on a Boeing 737-700, I think a flight from Chicago to Newark, New Jersey. They made an unscheduled, not mind you, an emergency landing in Cleveland. You can imagine, because of what happened a couple weeks ago, passengers were very scared. They saw a crack in the window. Apparently, they heard a pop. The thing is, the engine issue that happened to Southwest a couple weeks ago was deadly serious. People had a right to be nervous. It's something that doesn't happen, and it's something that the NTSB is investigating. A cracked window is actually pretty odd as well. It's just not dangerous. These things are made for this reason. There's basically three panes of plexiglass. If one shatters or breaks, it's not really a big deal. It takes a lot to actually break an airplane window. In fact, it's just something, again, you very rarely see. We saw it a couple weeks ago, so it's in people's minds. But it might be the type of thing that we don't really see again for our lifetimes.
And that's a good segue into an update on what happened with that bigger problem, with the bigger window issue. What do we know since we talked last about this, and how is this impacting Southwest Airlines?
Yeah, the NTSB is still investigating. One of the interesting things about the NTSB is right away after an accident or an incident happens, the NTSB does get out there and gives sort of people an idea of what may have happened. Perhaps the problem here was a fatigued fan blade. But after that, the NTSB really goes into investigation mode, and they become a little bit quieter, and it actually takes them years sometimes to come out with a final report. So we're going to wait to see what they have to say. We do know that Southwest said on its earnings call last week that business fell slightly after the incident. They're not exactly sure why. It could be that people just decided, hey, you know, this made me nervous and I don't want to book on Southwest. But there's probably another reason. Usually when something like this happens to an airline, they will pull their advertising and marketing and just, you know, get off of TV and even online advertising. And that's what Southwest said it did here. So they said, look, you know, bookings are down. We really don't know why. It's probably just because we haven't been advertising like we usually do. And as flyers know, there's really only one way to book a Southwest ticket, and that's southwest.com. Southwest said they were seeing fewer hits on that website, so it makes a lot of sense that fewer people are buying tickets. I suspect the customers are going to come back on the earnings call. Southwest suspected they would come back. It might take a few days or even weeks longer because the recent window incident is in people's minds. But I think in a few months, folks will forget about this.
Yeah, especially when they come back and they start focusing on buying tickets to Hawaii, because that's really what Southwest was hoping to be talking about right now, is its service to Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, sometimes airlines get off message. This was supposed to be a big time for Southwest. They have said where in Hawaii they're going to fly. They're going to be flying to the usual airports like Honolulu and Maui, but they haven't yet said where in the United States they'll fly from. They certainly won't be flying from Chicago. It's just too far for their 737s, but they'll probably fly from some West Coast airports. I think everybody expects Oakland, maybe Los Angeles, places like that.
There's some news involving United Airlines, the hometown airline. They have a new communications officer.
There's always news involving United, right, Steve? Yeah, the news of this week is actually a pretty big deal. Josh Earnest, who people may remember was President Obama's press secretary, has said that he is going to become the new chief communications officer at United Airlines. Often, but not always, these former press secretary types stay in the Washington, D.C. area and opine about politics. And Josh Earnest was a NBC News contributor, I understand. But I guess he's decided that he wants to help craft messages at United Airlines. And I think a lot of folks out there believe that's needed. Interesting fact, he'll be joined in the Chicago area by Robert Gibbs, who was another former Obama press secretary, and he's the chief communications officer at McDonald's Corporation.
Yeah, both of these guys have really good gigs lined up with them. Josh Earnest, you mentioned he's been doing NBC and MSNBC, seems like a straight shooter. He's coming into a shop that has a lot of public relations issues.
Yeah, there are very few companies out there that have quite the public relations issues of United Airlines. There was the Dr. Dow incident with the beating in Chicago about a year ago. There were some incidents recently with dogs. Josh Earnest is going to have to craft a cohesive message for an airline that has had trouble competing with American and Delta. I suppose that there's nobody better than an Obama press secretary to do that, but we'll have to see if he's up for the challenge. You know, a lot of people think that airlines are kind of a special industry and you need to have jet fuel in your veins. That's actually what people say in order to work at them. And so people tend to come up through the ranks, and they've worked for airlines for years and years and years. So we'll have to see what the learning curve is for Josh Earnest.
Nice segue into other United news. They've made a decision, some decisions about pets going forward. What have they said?
Yeah, you know, you'll remember that United had some incidents with pets over the last few months. They had this well-publicized incident where a French bulldog was stowed in an overhead bin mistakenly and died. So after that, and after a couple incidents after that that made the news, United said, okay, we're going to press pause on this program that we have where we transport animals for people, usually for money, and we're going to come up with a better program that effectively is safer for pets. And what they came up with was something pretty simple. They said, you know what, we're only going to focus on dogs and cats, and even among dogs and cats, we're only going to focus on the hardiest breeds. So the dogs and cats that can survive a long plane journey, maybe a delay. These are dogs and cats. I'm not so familiar with them, but they're less prone to physical problems from things like heat or travel stress.
And finally, there's news about Frontier Airlines possibly asking for a strike.
Yeah, you know, Frontier Airlines became a discount airline several years ago. Its pilots are very upset, you know, because they're flying the same Airbus A320s as pilots at United Airlines and American Airlines. I mean, literally, they're exact same plane. And they get paid a whole lot less than pilots at American and Delta. And Frontier management says, look, you know, we want to offer our customers the lowest fares. And the way to do that is to pay our people a fair wage, but pay them less. You know, pilots are in labor unions, and they're collective bargaining right now with Frontier management, and the pilots have said, look, you know, we're stuck, we're at an impasse here, and we would like permission to strike. And I don't know how much detail we need to go in here, but employee groups at airlines, including pilots, can't just go on strike. You basically need federal permission to do so, and the pilots have asked for that permission.
What's the likelihood that they'll get it? Are there any recent examples of this?
You know, the last time pilots were able to go on strike at a major U.S. airline was in 2010, and that was at Spirit Airlines, and before that it had been several years. So it's possible, you know, this group in Washington called the National Mediation Board basically has to rule that the sides are stuck, they can't make any more progress whatsoever, and then at that point they would release the sides from negotiations. There would be a 30-day cooling off period, and at the end of those 30 days, if there was no agreement reached, the pilots would have the right to go on strike. A strike would cripple the airline. It's really hard to fly through a strike. People who bought tickets on Frontier would be in trouble. And usually, you know, after a strike, things get settled pretty quickly.
Is there a chance that this might affect the summer travel season?
Well, you know, Frontier is statistically a bit player in the U.S. Air transport industry. And so, yes, for people who had tickets on Frontier, there might be a few days this summer that would be dicey, but that's a big if because there has to be a strike first, and nobody's sure that's going to happen. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on.
Ryan, always good chatting with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Ryan Summers is an airline business reporter for Skift.com. Follow them at Skift on Twitter. And make sure you follow Brian as well at Brian Summers. And you can sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures off 30 points now. NASDAQ futures are off about 10. S&P futures are lower by about 4 points. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you. We're keeping an eye on China, of course, this morning, but we're also taking a look at the numbers that the wheat tour came up with yesterday afternoon, and that number sent wheat futures to multi-month highs because short covering came into the market and worries about the size of the hard red winter wheat crop in the top-producing state of Kansas. Soybeans moved higher, a late-session rally some traders attributed to optimism about the outcome of trade talks with top global soy buyers, China. Corn also moved higher yesterday. But let's take a look at that winter wheat tour, because that Wheat Quality Council crop tour projected the winter wheat yield in Kansas, which is the top U.S. wheat state, at 37 bushels an acre. And potentially that would be the smallest crop since 1989. Potentially the smallest crop that we've seen for decades, reflecting the impact of the drought. The tour called Kansas production 243 million bushels, which puts them a good 30 million bushels less than the trade. And the wheat contract yesterday, the nearby May wheat contract, up 14.25 cents. July wheat up 10.75. The July soybean contract up 10.25. July corn up 3 cents in yesterday's trade. Turning to livestock trade yesterday, we did see some higher prices in live cattle futures. They have been up and down, but fund buying and solid wholesale beef demand contributed to futures advances in the cattle trade yesterday. June live cattle up $1.67 a hundredweight. They closed at $106.52. So the weather continues to be a concern, but I think, Steve, we probably are going to show pretty good percentage of corn planted when we get the report on Monday afternoon.
The fields, we're starting to see more tractors in the fields. I know downstate getting reports of people actually doing some work. The nice weather is helping.
Nice weather is helping. As a matter of fact, I've had some reports since getting back from the West that most of the corn crop south of a line from Quincy over to Champaign is in the ground. I haven't been able to check that myself, but I have been getting reports that a lot of progress was made and has been made. So we'll wait for those numbers on Monday afternoon. They become critical now for the next month or so. But we will get the crop planted, Steve. We talk about this concern every year, but with our 36-row corn planters, we can plant a ton of acres in a week if we get the weather to do it.
Orion, earlier in the show, we were talking about gas prices going up, and for you and me at the gas pump with our cars, it's a big deal. But what's the impact of rising fuel prices, let's say, on farmers?
It is huge because when you, flying, I'm always fascinated flying back from the West Coast. When you look down on all of the fields that tractors are going to have to cross three times or four times during the planting season, huge amount of fuel. I think truck industry, of course, is number one, but then I think agriculture is number two in the amount of fuel that's consumed, because when you look at all of those acres and realize that you have to till them and you have to plant them and then you have to make sure the weeds stay away, you have to go over that field two or three times.
Well, let's hope the prices don't go as high as we've seen some analysts predicting they might, especially if China trade talks go south. Orin, what's on the show tomorrow?
On the show tomorrow, we're going to talk markets, and we'll be talking to David Hightower. David is our specialist on China. He goes to China maybe two times a year. He was there late last year, and he gets a firsthand discussion with the traders, and the Chinese traders particularly, because they are some of the best traders in the world. So we'll have a rather lengthy conversation with David Hightower tomorrow.
All right. Orion, have a great weekend.
You too, Sin.
The morning show with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, May 4th. On the calendar today, obviously the jobs report expected 190,000 jobs, somewhere around there, created back in April. Earnings reports continue to come in. Alibaba, Newell Brands. Also, the Berkshire Hathaway Annual Shareholder Meeting kicks off this weekend. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, May the 4th. And a reminder that Paul Nolte and I will be back mid-morning via podcast with an update and a full analysis of the jobs report, and we'll post that at WGNradio.com. Our show's producer is Bennett Wakenut. Our engineer this morning is Bob Ferguson. I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great weekend.